$159 billion. According to a report by Newzoo, a leading game analysis company, that's how big the video game industry was in 2020. And while we were all stuck at home last year, I have a feeling that the numbers for 21 are going to continue to skyrocket. To put that $159 billion into perspective, in 2012, the market cap for games, according to Newzoo, was only $70 billion. So what's caused gaming to blow up and become mainstream?
Well, for someone like me who's been playing games since 1976 on an Atari 2600 and running up high scores at arcades as a child, it's always felt mainstream. But to understand when everyone else joined the club, I guess you'd have to look back at video gaming evolution to recognize the shift. For the longest time, video games charted a path of Moore's Law in effect. Basically, technology would improve and games would become deeper, more complex, better rendered experiences that tried to get closer to real. Does it look real? How many pixels can we push? Those were the kind of questions and game defining questions that oftentimes superseded gameplay as the most important element. Then I would say something happened around the time of PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. That is, play experience became more important than graphics. It went from survival of the fittest, graphically speaking, to survival of, let's say, the funnest. Now you have the Wii with motion controls, and that was creating Wii Sports bowling leagues in retirement homes. You have plastic instruments flooding the market through games like Guitar Hero and Rock Band, creating wannabe rock stars. And you have the introduction of the iPhone, which began the skyrocketing growth of mobile games. All of that happened, let's say, from 2005 to 2007. Different experiences emerged as a result. Gameplay, as all gamers have known, especially those that have been playing as long as I have, became king for everybody. And ubiquitous access to games was a reality. That's when I believe video games became mainstream. Now games are everywhere. The gamification of industries is happening as people realize games are amazing teaching experiences. And the industry is now the dominant form of entertainment, larger in revenue than the film box office and the music industry combined. And a lot of people don't realize that.
That's Daryl, who is the VP of Electronic Arts Worldwide Studios and the GM of EA Tiburon Studios. Between his decades of experience in the gaming industry as a professional and a player, Daryl has been following this industry closely. But there is one event that happened a couple years ago that practically broke the internet.
It was a slow roll that I think really snowballed in the last 5 years, with the massive popularity of games like League of Legends, Fortnite, and perhaps even more importantly, the influencers that play those games. I think Drake playing Fortnite with Ninja is the defining moment that made games cool amongst mainstream Western audiences.
Yep, Drake the rapper played Fortnite with Ninja. This was a defining moment for what is now called the creator economy, which we'll talk a little bit more about later. Now, with numbers like $159 billion, it can be hard to comprehend how big that is. So here's another example that might make a little bit more sense.
I actually made a bet with a good friend of mine back in 2010 that by 2020, a video game esport viewing event would have more viewership than the Super Bowl within a decade. We were nowhere close in 2010, but still, it managed to happen in 2018, sooner than I expected, when the League of Legends finals broke 100 million views, 5 million more than the Super Bowl. I won the $100 on that bet. It's not much money to me now, but at the time, it was a pretty big bet for me.
Those last two clips were from Sean, who's the CEO of Cyberdream, a 3D studio that specializes in building content in virtual reality. In the US, the Super Bowl is sort of like the event, and a League of Legends event beat it by 5 million viewers. The gaming industry has been on a hot streak lately. And with big trademark names like Call of Duty, Madden, and League of Legends, many people believe that you need to bolster a huge team to create the next big game. But that's not necessarily the case.
In fact, some of the most successful games to have ever been built have been built by teams of five or less. Valheim is one such game that was released last year to the tune of 6 million sales on PC alone, competing with the likes of the Call of Duty franchise on their release.
And another example of this was the Among Us craze. The company behind Among Us is Inner Sloth. And guess how many developers were on that team when it blew up? Three. Three people created a game that has generated over $50 million and over 350 million downloads. How is that possible? Three words. The creator economy. But what is that?
Millennials, I believe back in 2009 or somewhere around there, became the first generation where a majority of their entertainment time was spent on content that they or their peers were creating. That's when our customers basically became our competitors.
YouTube, Twitch, and now TikTok. Before, these were only platforms you maybe watched a friend play video games on. But as social media has grown, so have the creators on the platforms. Remember Ninja, who streamed with Drake earlier? At one point, he was earning $500,000 a month just through his subscribers on Twitch. That doesn't take into account brand deals, sponsorships, donations, and the many other streams of income. Creators are the new movie stars for the millennial and Gen Z generations. And with all of that attention, they can move product, or in this case, sell video games. Among Us grew widely due to a lot of streamers on Twitch and YouTube playing their game, but this isn't the only perk of influencers. Dina is the founder and creative director at Captolite, which is an indie game studio. She's previously used the insights from the creators and their audiences to find bugs within the games that she and her team didn't see before. You can kind of think of it as market research, but potentially at a larger scale. But like with any tech industry, this debate will always come up.
I'm actually from Tampa, and when I went to high school, I knew I wanted to go to college to study games, and honestly, there really wasn't much out there at the time. Besides Orlando, like, it was either having to, you know, go to California or some other state to go to school, and I really didn't want to do that. I found Orlando was actually the place to go to in Florida if I wanted to study games. But yeah, when it came to job hunting, there were a lot more opportunities here in Orlando than I could find back home, and without having to move to the West like a lot of other developers do.
Now, let's talk about Silicon Valley tech jobs versus gaming jobs first.
There's something that Apple, Google, and Amazon have all proven thus far. Tech companies can't make great games. And I would hypothesize that in a future where an experience economy is the norm and interactive experiences are key, those capable of making great games will be the key content providers. One day, movies will be interactive, and the new Spielbergs are Gen Z creators considering degrees in video games right now. So you can make technology, or you can create experiences.
I don't know about you, but creating experiences is kind of what innovation is all about, right? But what about Orlando versus California?
It comes down to the quality of life and the ecosystem to support your future dreams. The cost of living is a no-brainer, especially if you want to own some land or a home with no state income tax. Florida crushes California there, in my opinion. Pair that with Florida weather, the emerging arts and food culture of Orlando, amazing university partners, plus the fact that Central Florida is an emerging digital media market and tech sector, while already being the world's epicenter for modeling, simulation, and training, and you can see where things are headed. So I'd say, come create the future. Orlando's waiting for you, and EA is hiring.
You heard it from Daryl. EA is hiring. But honestly, I know every place will say that their community is superior, so instead of me saying it, let's hear from the members of our community themselves.
Of course, Orlando has been great. There's so much talent here with amazing schools like Full Sail, UCF, Dave School, and many more. A majority of my team actually has gone through UCF, including myself. I graduated there a couple of years ago, and a lot of the community here is very, very supportive of the games industry.
We love a homegrown team, and especially in the indie game space, the ability to surround yourself with others can have a greater impact than you think.
There was only a small number of starving indie developers. However, this has also turned out to be a blessing, because I got to work with remarkable people like Kunal Patel, Kyle Moran, and Jalil Sadul to build very capable and rapidly growing companies in our industries. By becoming pillars in our local community, we've been able to take advantage of all of our ecosystem's benefits. We're not only next door to the largest attraction, space, and simulation industries in the world, we've had the opportunity to become thought leaders in some of those spaces. We're also incredibly fortunate to be one of the largest exporters of game development talent in the world.
And what's the point of having all these amazing people in a city if you can't get them together, right?
The Orlando Science Center, for example, is a really big supporter by hosting their yearly STEM and tech event called the Tronicon. And they always have like a games exhibit, and they let you exhibit for free. And it's like super helpful for, you know, like small studios here in Orlando. Orlando has a wonderful indie games community with organizations like Orlando Game Space, there's Indienomicon, to name a few. And it's just great opportunities for us to be able to spread the word about our projects, network with the other studios here in Orlando, and finding an awesome space to work in and collaborate.
Orlando is filled with creative game developers from university students all the way to veterans in the industry. But we've talked a lot about the past and the present. What about the future?
EA has had a long history in Central Florida. For over 27 years, we've been part of the digital media and technology landscape here, growing from a studio of three to over 850 people and continuing to grow. We've partnered with UCF to create one of the top graduate programs in video games, the Florida Interactive Entertainment Academy. We've worked with the Orlando Economic Partnership on economic development and job creation. We've joined with the Florida High Tech Corridor on pushing for technology and research growth. And we've worked with the city and community leaders on developing the Creative Village, which is our new studio home beginning in 2021. So Orlando has grown and we've grown with it, and I'm looking forward to our next chapter.
I want to see just how far our city can push these technologies collectively. And you know what's funny? Most of the outside world likes to think of Mickey Mouse when they think of Orlando, and while that's true and there's merit there, the truth is there's so much more than that that people aren't aware of. I've personally dubbed Orlando as the Cyber City. Let's make that a reality.
Cyber City? That has a nice ring to it. With the creator economy on the rise, video games may just skip the moon and meet Elon on Mars. Either way, one thing's for sure. Whether you're looking to develop the next big game or join some of the largest gaming companies, Orlando is the place for you.